You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
In Sam Pittman's first year as the Razorbacks head coach, the biggest win was probably the win at Mississippi State, because what that did was that it broke a 20-game SEC losing streak. It gave his players some confidence, some buy-in into what he and his coaching staff were doing, and certainly it set the tone for the rest of 2020 that the Razorbacks were going to play hard. In 2021, there's some debate to be had and probably a point to be made that the Mississippi State game this weekend is the biggest game for Pittman and his staff to this point. Yes, they beat Texas, they beat Texas A&M, but at 5-3, they could get bowl eligible this week, and they could right the ship a little bit after a rough October. Matt Jones joined today by Scotty Bordelon of Whole Hog Sports and Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated. Clay, this is a big game, I feel like, for the Razorbacks, because last month was a rough month. You lose to Georgia, and you lose to Ole Miss, and you lose to Auburn, all really good teams. And now you get Mississippi State coming in here that's kind of on a hot streak. They're number 17 in the playoff poll. You beat them, and you're feeling pretty good about your program again.
Yeah, I think that what I would say, it gives a chance to kind of – it's a validation game, you know, that what you've got in September is meaningful, and you can also, you know, kind of wipe away the unpleasant memory of those three games in October. And it's said over and over, what you do in November is what they remember. I think Frank – said it a little different, but I'm not going to do my Frank Broyles impersonation like everybody else does. But it's true. It is what you remember, and it will validate that Texas and Texas A&M victories that are really huge, but you can't just stop there. And it's the getting to a bowl will be so meaningful, a chance to, you know, it's just like last week we heard about the emergence of Devin Manuel in the offensive line, and Bryce Stevens moved into kind of the rotation at wide receiver. There's a lot of good young players on this roster, but if you play a lot of close games, you don't get to really work them the way you want. In a bowl practice is just so huge for your program and the young players and for recruiting. So the sooner they get that one victory, the you know, you kind of check that off the list.
Yeah, it definitely would validate, like Clay said, the wins earlier in the year. It would just validate what, you know, the coaching staff has done to this point and kind of your belief moving forward, you know, because you feel like you are moving. You know, you're on a really good trajectory at this point, but to get to where you want to be, you've got to win some of these 50-50 games. Like the Ole Miss game was very winnable. You lost it. Auburn at home, you feel like that was a winnable game. You lost that one. So you've got to start at some point down the stretch of a season, you got to put together some good performances and win some of those 50-50 games that can, you know, be the difference in you, you know, maybe end up winning 8 games, 9 games, or 6 or 7 games.
This weekend's got kind of a feel of that old Jack Nicholson, Diane Keaton movie, Something's Got to Give. You know, you've got a really good Arkansas run game against the Mississippi State run defense that's been really good, and you've got an Arkansas pass defense that's been, you know, pretty good, at least in SEC rankings, Clay, against, you know, what's probably the, at least statistically, it's the best passing game in the league.
Well, I think what you've got is an Arkansas defense that, when a team has been one-dimensional, they're really good. They can scheme up how to stop the stuff that you do well if you don't have balance. Mississippi State showed a little balance last week against Kentucky, but I think, you know, averaging 2.7 per running play isn't something that's going to scare Barry Odom out of that. But then what you're saying on, you know, when Arkansas has the ball, that is something that is really an interesting dynamic, in that, you know, Arkansas runs it and Mississippi State stops the run. Now, having said that, if you look back at, you know, what Mississippi State's faced, or have they, you know, they faced teams that run it as well as Arkansas. And I think what makes Arkansas good at running the ball is their ability to pass, and the deep passing keeps the safeties back. So I'll be interested to see Mississippi State walks one of those safeties up, you know, and loads that box. But if Arkansas gets a light box, I think they'll be able to run against Mississippi State. To what degree is probably the, you know, the big question in the game.
Mississippi State and Ole Miss games kind of played out the same way last year in that, you know, it was drop eight. You kind of keep a pretty good passing game in check, and Arkansas won those two. And when they played Ole Miss this year, they talked about you can't do that again, because if you do, Ole Miss is going to take advantage of you. And Ole Miss really put a hurting on the Arkansas defense. What do you expect this week, though, as you know, Mississippi State gets another crack at this Barry Odom defense?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Arkansas is definitely going to, you know, switch things up, play multiple fronts. I figure we'll see maybe a little bit more movement along the front than we've seen in the past. I think it's a big week for those defensive ends, and maybe even John Ridgeway too. Remember earlier in the week we talked about Trey Williams had a huge game against Texas A&M, but up until that UAPB game, he did not have a single pressure against Georgia, against Ole Miss, against Auburn. That's a guy that he's got to be able to make an impact too, and John Ridgeway is the same way. I was looking at some Mississippi State numbers earlier in the week, and they've, I believe, given up the second most sacks of any SEC team this year, which is a little bit surprising to me, just given that they get the ball out so quick with Will Rogers. But I think there's some opportunities there for Arkansas's pass rushers if they can get home, you know, and put them on the ground and just kind of make their presence felt. I think that would go a long way, you know, to getting a win. But I think Arkansas, the biggest thing to me is just you've got to be able to tackle in space, and you've got to play well on first and third down. You've got to prevent like 7 or 8 yard dump down completion gains on first down. And then you've got to get off the field on third down. This Mississippi State, I think, is, you know, hovering right around 50% on third down, and Arkansas has got the best third down defense in the league right now. So that's an interesting matchup to watch.
I think that's right, Scotty. And I also, you know, you're going to, you know, even if you get some pressure, you're not going to get to Will Rogers a lot. I mean, one or two sacks, three sacks, that's probably what you're looking at on a good day. It's still going to be tackling, and I think they'll target the nickelback position. They tried to do that last year, and I think it, you know, Greg Brooks made the big play, you know, got the interception and the pick six early that kind of set the tone that you know, Mississippi State's going to move the ball, but they're going to, you know, force them into a mistake. And I think you'll look at Jaden Johnson, who I guess he took that spot last week. Maybe we didn't even realize that he had beaten out Greg Brooks in practice. Greg's had a good week of practice, or 2 weeks, and they say he stepped up, and probably both of those guys will play. And how they tackle in space is a huge thing. I mean, that's they're going to be chasing down that swing back, just like the linebackers, but they're the wide, you know, they're a lot of times setting the edge outside the ends who are rushing the passer. They've got to make those tackles. So Fouché, you know, plays that inside safety. Miles Slusher, Simeon Blair, how do those guys tackle? And, you know, we saw in the Auburn game in the fourth quarter, they didn't tackle so well. So to me, we know that Hayden Henry, Bumper Pool, and Grant Morgan are going to tackle. And how do those other guys that are kind of the around them, how do they rally to the ball? And are, you know, they're the second guys there. And I think that's what Arkansas did well early. They rallied to the ball and swarmed people. It wasn't just one guy. So how do they give those linebackers some help? And that's what I'll be watching defensively.
Of course, Greg Brooks had that great game against Mississippi State last year, helped set the tone with the pick six early. I think he had two interceptions in that game, two of the three interceptions that Arkansas had against the Bulldogs. Scotty, you wrote earlier this week about Bryce Stevens and being moved into the slot receiver. Or the number two slot receiver. What do you think he might be able to add in this game? Do you think he'll play?
I think there's a chance that he gets on the field. I've been a little bit surprised that he hasn't gotten more of an opportunity maybe at kickoff return, because, you know, you've had AJ Green back, and I think you've had Rocket, you know, back returning kickoffs, and, you know, AJ Green's had a little bit of trouble hanging on to the football. There's been some fumble issues, you know, both when he's carried the ball and when he's returned kicks. I've been, because I mean, Bryce Stevens is a burner. Like, he's got serious speed. And we finally saw it, I think, against UAPB, return to punt like 27 yards in the second half after Nathan Perotti tapped out. I think he was tired of, returning all those punts for good yardage. But he's got some serious speed, and he apparently showed the staff, you know, quite a bit in the bye week, and he moved up to the number two slot behind Treylon Burks. That's still a spot where you don't exactly know how much he's going to play, because Traylon's going to be out there, you know, probably more than anybody else. So I think there is an opportunity for Bryce Stevens. I'm not sure just if he's ready to make like a huge impact yet, but I think he's definitely got some playmaking potential, because the speed is obviously there, and KJ's been, you know, pretty effective throwing the ball downfield.
Clay, we've talked about that too, about having players who kind of step up in November who haven't played before. Who are the players you think that we haven't seen a whole lot from that maybe over these last four games you might see more from? Because I would figure for some of them, you've got this redshirt rule that might come into play as well. You know, players who potentially haven't played up to this point, but they could get those four games in and still not burn their redshirt.
Yeah, there may be a few. I mean, the guy that – and he's played, but I just think that the role just keeps getting expanded is Jaden Johnson, who really gives a different look at the nickel. You know, he's 35 pounds bigger than Greg Brooks. I mean, Greg Brooks is 185 and Jaden Johnson's 220. That's putting a linebacker in the nickelback spot. And so I think that's a guy that is going to keep seeing his role increase, whether they move him back to safety or they, you know, move him up to, you know, a linebacker spot. If he gains another 10 pounds, you know, it's like, if he doesn't want to play linebacker, he better watch what he eats, because he's a guy that apparently goes in the weight room and gets a good meal, and kind of like a Cedric Cobbs, you know, it's like he just, it looks like Popeye just keeps, you know, bulging out the muscles. But yeah, I think that, you know, there's maybe some guys that could impact if they get healthy, like a Trent Gordon, who we haven't seen a lot. Now, he's not a young player, so to speak. He's a redshirt junior, the transfer from Penn State. I don't know about, you know, the offensive line, how you can change too much up front. You know, is Jalen St. John or Tykeus Crawford get a little bit, you know, a little bit more run in the offensive line? It's you know, tight end, is Landon Rogers a guy that could, you know, blossom, you know, in the last month? That'll be interesting to follow. But I think the guy that we're going to be talking about in this stretch run is probably going to be Dominic Johnson, because I think he's going to get more carries, and he's a guy that's on the radar. I mean, it's like, he's not somebody that hadn't played, but he's going to play more than what he's played the first half of the season, in my opinion.
Clay, I don't know if there's any series that illustrates what Sam Pittman's done for Arkansas more than the Mississippi State series. Do you remember how bad Arkansas got pushed around by Mississippi State for those last couple, or for the two Chad Morris years? I mean, the two final scores in those games were 52-6 and 54-24. And, you know, the Arkansas, there were times in those games where they didn't even look like they belonged on the field with Mississippi State. And I'm talking about, you know, primarily along the line of scrimmage. I think one of the things that has always gotten a little underrated was the defensive linemen that Dan Mullen recruited to Mississippi State. I mean, they had a really good defensive line there for a number of years. To me, this series is just a really good, you know, prism, I guess, to look at the Sam Pittman coaching staff and the way they've been able to close the gap with Mississippi State, which is one of the teams that, if Arkansas is going to, you know, have a rebuild and, you know, build itself back up within the division, Mississippi State's one of those teams that I think you would point out early on, saying we've got to be able to beat those guys.
Yeah, Mississippi State had two first rounders in their defensive line. I can remember being on the Football Writers All-American Committee, and it was time to nominate SEC players for, you know, for All America. And they had two guys that, you know, that really, you know, you'd say they're both first team All American. It's really hard to convince a group from all around the country that Mississippi State has two players like that, but they did, and they both deserved it. And I think only one made it. Maybe the other made second team. But it was, they were dealing with that defense for about 3 or 4 years, and they could embarrass you. And it was, and it was amazing how easy they made it look with that defensive front. How would you like to play linebacker behind those guys? And that nobody ever touched them. And that was, that was what was so interesting about the Mullen time there at Mississippi State. And, you know, he's considered an offensive wizard, but he had recruited some really studs in the lines. And that was evident when Arkansas played and they were just outclassed. Now, slowly but surely, I think that's where Sam Pittman's headed. And you know, the Mississippi State series to me is pivotal. If you go back and you just look at since Arkansas's been in the SEC, and that game, when Arkansas's been able to beat Mississippi State, more times than not, they're going to a bowl game. And we know that if they do Saturday, they're going to a bowl game. So it's right back where it's been for, you know, most of the last 30 years.
I think 2005 and 2004 are the only times that Arkansas hasn't gone to a bowl game when they beat Mississippi State. So you're right. It has really been a pivotal. And it's really interesting how this series has gone. Before last year, Arkansas had lost 7 of 8 to Mississippi State. Mississippi State has really owned this series, whereas Arkansas was, you know, really the team that owned the series for about the first 20 years in the conference, maybe outside of those first couple of meetings. A couple of notes. Grant Morgan is Arkansas's nominee for the Burlesworth Trophy. Remember, he was a finalist last year. I think we're all a little surprised that he didn't win that award a year ago. And then personnel notes, Arkansas is going to get Dalton Wagner back this week. We think that's a big addition for him. And Clay, we talked about Wagner on Tuesday's podcast. We didn't talk a lot about what Markell Utsi might mean to the defense. What do you think he might mean as he gets back into the fold this week?
Well, he's a physical anchor at that tackle position, you might call it end. But he's solid. He requires attention. He does not make mistakes. And when you're looking at defensive linemen, do they own their gap? And I think that's he understands the defense, the scheme. And, you know, Scotty talked about the way they might move their front a little bit, stemming. And I think that's something when you have guys that understand how to play multiple gaps and understand, and they can shift together. And I think that's what Utsi can do. And so it's, I think that it might not be the same as Wagner, but it's similar. It's at least similar to, you know, and that's one more guy in your defensive line rotation. And the fourth quarter, everybody's going to be tired of rushing the passer, and that's a guy that is going to give you 30 or 40 plays.
Before the Ole Miss game, there was so much talk about KJ Jefferson and playing Ole Miss and what that game meant to him. Of course, he grew up 20, 30 miles from Oxford, if even that, and he played great. That might have been the best game he's ever played as a Razorback. I have to believe, Scotty, that this game means a lot to him too, playing Mississippi State, because there's probably a lot of guys on that state roster who he grew up with, or, you know, obviously knows, you know, growing up playing football with them or against them in the state of Mississippi.
You know, Mississippi State, like Ole Miss, was another one of those schools that was in the mix for him. You know, Ole Miss wanted to, they were talking to KJ about moving him to receiver, and KJ wanted no part of that whatsoever. I'm not sure the more of the specifics on Mississippi State, But I think KJ just more or less wanted to get out of the state of Mississippi. But, you know, anytime he sees, you know, one of those home state schools on the schedule, he's going to be definitely amped up. And if he played as well as he did against Ole Miss, against Mississippi State, you know, I think there was a clear chip on his shoulder against Ole Miss, especially going back home, just a half hour away. I think it'll be a similar type deal for him emotions-wise playing Mississippi State. He'll probably have a good week.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Visit them on the web at gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Whoopee!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Now this is Satania across the 25, and there he goes. Look at the speed. Isaiah Satania at the 40. He's at the 30. One man to beat at the 20. 10. Touchdown, Fayetteville. 80 yards by Isaiah Satania on the opening offensive play of the season, and that is why all of the Power 5 teams wanted him to commit to them this summer.
Well, for the last three seasons, I've seen every touchdown Isaiah Satania has scored, like that 80-yard touchdown he had against Conway in the season opener this year. I call Fayetteville's games for the Fayetteville Sports Network. And this week, he committed to Arkansas. That's the third team that he's committed to during his recruiting process, committed to Texas A&M during the spring, then committed to Oregon over the summer, decommitted from Oregon, and committed to the Razorbacks this week. He is a four-star wide receiver. And so I'll bring in Dudley Dawson, who's our recruiting coordinator at Hogs Illustrated. Dudley, you've seen him play too. What are your thoughts on the type of player that Arkansas is getting, number one, but also on the significance of Sam Pittman being able to get a really highly recruited player to stay home in his own backyard?
Well, I think you look at one thing is that there were four consensus four-star players in the state this year, and the fact that they're adding Isaiah means that they're getting all four of them. It's also at a need position. They had made clear they were going to go out and get another wide receiver in this class to go along with Quincy McAdoo from Clarendon, Arkansas. And they arguably got, you know, the best one in the state, or certainly, you know, one of the top two when you put those two together. And it's, I had a chance to talk with him for about 10 to 15 minutes this morning. And clearly to me, the improvement that Arkansas's made, the fact that they stayed after him and that he sees a future at Arkansas are the big reasons that he made this switch. And I got to tell you, he was a little bit he talked a little bit about being a little nervous because he had decommitted from Texas A&M to commit to Oregon. And here he is decommitting from Oregon to commit to Arkansas. But in the end, he said he had to do what was best for him as a young man. And in the end, he thought that was playing football at the University of Arkansas.
I think it probably surprises some people that he's committed to Arkansas because his dad, Mario Satania, resigned earlier this year as a track coach for the Razorbacks. And the thought is that Isaiah is going to not only play football, but he's also going to run track. Very skilled track athlete in a lot of different events. Did he approach that subject at all?
Yeah. First of all, he has hopes of breaking 9 different state records in his track and field events this year. And that's something that he's deciding to stay and spend the rest of the school year instead of being early enrollee, you know, for Arkansas. But that's one of the things. But he says he sees himself as coming to college as a football player that just happens to run track. And that's not always been the way he thought about things. He used to think of himself as a track guy who played football, but he has had so much success this season, you know, with over 64 catches and over 1,000 yards and being the leading receiver in terms of production in the state, that he really sees himself as a football player now. And he says he based this decision based on football and not track.
By the way, Isaiah, from my count, already holds 6 state records, 3 indoor, 3 outdoor, among them a 24 and a half long jump record. Indoors, also indoors, he has the 60 meter record in 6.86 seconds. He has the 60 hurdle record in 7.88 seconds. And as a freshman in 2019, he set the outdoor 300 hurdles record in 37.67 seconds, which was the 5th fastest time nationally that year. So really advanced sprinter. And Dudley, when you watch him play at Fayetteville, when he gets the ball in his hands, it's you hold your breath every time, because there's always that possibility that he can take it to the end zone. But I'll tell you, the thing that's really jumped out to me about him this year is that it feels like his hands have gotten a lot better. Number one, he was a guy that would drop some passes in the last couple of seasons. He doesn't really seem to drop a whole lot this year. And then the other thing that stands out to me is that he's gotten a lot more physical.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he has shown more tackle breaking ability when somebody's been able to get their hands on him, that is. So I agree with you on that aspect. I think he's going to fit well in the slot for Arkansas. He thinks he's going to fit well there as well. Another thing that he talked about was he now sees that a wide receiver from Arkansas, even though this is not his native state, can go in the first round of the NFL draft. He fully thinks that Treylon Burks will be moving on, as I think most of us do, and be a first-round draft pick. And he said that played a factor in it as well as Kenny Guyton had to develop a relationship with him. Justin Stepp, the former wide receivers coach, had a pretty good one going with him. He talked about that a little bit. But Kenny Guyton, he's gotten to know him and feels excited about that. One of the biggest things, though, is he just believes that the culture's been changed by Coach Pittman with the Arkansas football program. He sees kids wanting to play there now. He didn't necessarily want to play there under Chad Morris and early on, you know, when he was trying to figure out what was going on with Coach Pittman and his staff and how they were going to do. But he now sees it as a pride thing, and he's happy to stay home and be a part of this team instead of staying home and hoping things would turn out the way he wanted.
Dudley mentioned this isn't his native state. He grew up in Austin, Texas for most of his life. His dad was the former head coach of the University of Texas track program. Isaiah enters Friday night's game leading the state of Arkansas with 65 receptions for 1,279 yards and 13 touchdowns. The Purple Dogs will play Springdale Harbor on Friday night at Harmon Field. Dudley, I can't think of another player who has come out of Northwest Arkansas, at least not a skill player, maybe since Damian Williams, who has the type of playmaking potential that I think Isaiah has.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you over that. And certainly Damian was not maybe the most publicity back during that Springdale era, those 5 kids, but he turned out to be as good as any of them, you know, even got some time in the NFL. But yeah, I do agree with you. He's electric to watch. You know, I think that he would make a good returner, obviously, as well on a college level, as in addition to being wide receiver. But the thing I do think, and I talked to Manny Powell, who obviously is the Fayetteville transfer who messed up his knee and is out for the season, but will be enrolling at Arkansas. He said he stayed in Isaiah's ear every day telling him about Arkansas, which is really weird when you think about it, that a Canton kid who moved from Canton, Ohio, who was in the ear of a kid who'd been in Fayetteville for quite a while now and telling him, you know, you should really go down the street here and play for these guys. But it all worked out in the end. Obviously, the early signing period will come along, and, you know, they want to get him signed then and get everything taken care of. But in talking to him this morning and just listening to him, I feel like he sees a little bit more responsibility in this decision than maybe he did in the first two. And I think he's going to be fully committed. I don't think they're going to have to worry about another flip. I think he seems And, you know, I've talked to him for a long time now, and he seems real comfortable with this decision. And like this, he feels happy now. And he kept mentioning it as home now. So, you know, that's kind of a different aspect than I've heard from him over the years.
Prediction time now. It's a pretty good week of football in the SEC. Most of the teams are playing. Only Vanderbilt is off. There is a non-conference game, and that's where we'll start. Liberty is at Ole Miss, Clay. This is Hugh Freeze's return to Oxford. This game was scheduled before Freeze had been hired as the Liberty head coach. This is certainly a really interesting game, 11 a.m. on the SEC Network.
Yeah, this is I think it's a fun game, and I think it's we've had all kinds of interesting scenarios with Lane Kiffin going back to Tennessee, playing against his old coach, Nick Saban, and, you know, now the fans who really loved Hugh Freeze. I think they gave him up with begrudgingly when all the NCAA violations is like, well, we know he cheated, but that's okay. He's our guy. And I think there'll be a warm welcome for him until Lane starts handing off to Snoop Connor, and they're going to go up and down the field running the ball on Liberty's defense.
Ole Miss is maybe a 9 or 9.5 point favorite in this game. I don't think that's enough, even though I do like Malik Willis a lot, the Liberty quarterback, but I think Ole Miss is just too good.
Also at 11 a.m., Missouri is at Georgia. You got to believe Georgia's going to roll in this game. That game's going to be on ESPN.
Yeah, something to watch is the Georgia quarterback situation. I think they're going to continue with Stetson Bennett. And one thing to note, and we talked a little earlier that the Burlesworth nominations, you know, each team submitted their guy. And I went through the list, and it's the Georgia quarterback going against Grant. I think that's his competition. And, boy, it would be hard to overlook Bennett if we get to the SEC championship game and they're still number one and he's still the quarterback and they're still rolling. We all respect what Grant's done and thought that, you know, he should have got it last year, but dadgum, you know, that would be a formidable opponent for Grant in that final ballot. So, when you watch him, you like, okay, let's maybe he can have a couple off games to help Grant a little bit.
I think Georgia can probably name how many yards they want to rush for in this game. I think they'll win pretty handily.
Talk about Burlesworth Trophy. Missouri's candidate is Barrett Bannister, the grandson of Harold Horton, a wide receiver there. Also, another notable name on the Burlesworth nominee list is Drake Stoops. That's Bob Stoops' son, a pretty good wide receiver at Oklahoma. If name appeal has anything to do with that award, I would think he'd probably make at least the first cut. Moving on, Auburn is at Texas A&M. That's probably the game of the week in the SEC, 2:30 on CBS, Clay.
That might be the best game of the day. And I think Auburn is just really hitting their stride, and they played better of late. They've got Owen Papo back. Their inside linebacker did not play against Arkansas, and he's probably their best defensive player. I think Auburn will go in there and win. Bo Nix, he's the mystery guy. Sometimes he plays great on the road like he did against Arkansas, and sometimes he lays an egg. I look for him to have a decent game against a Texas A&M defense that gives up some plays in the passing game.
I read on Twitter the other day that Auburn, I believe, still has a chance to win the SEC West, which is incredible to me. I think they've made a deal with the devil or Auburn Jesus, or Jesus is an Auburn student or, you know, on the faculty. I think Auburn's going to win that game, and I think they're going to stay in the hunt for the SEC West title. Like, I think it's just one of those weird years where I think we're going to see something pretty strange happen down the stretch of the schedule.
Auburn wins out. They will win the SEC West. They play A&M this week. They follow that with a home game against Mississippi State, and they go to at South Carolina. So sets up an interesting Iron Bowl there at the end of the season. And the Iron Bowl this year is at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
And a second chance at Georgia. How about
that's right.
That?
Yeah. Moving on, there's three night games in the SEC this week. We'll start with Tennessee at Kentucky. It's on ESPN2 at 6 o'clock.
Tennessee, I think that they have really shown improvement, far better than I thought they would be. You know, they're not great on defense. That's where it seems like they've, you know, they lost a lot of players in the transfer portal, a lot of players graduation. That's where they seem to have their biggest problems. But I think they'll score a lot of points on Kentucky. I think Kentucky is they're getting Kentucky at the right time. So I'll take the Volunteers.
I don't have a real good feel for this game, but I'll be contrary and go with Kentucky. I think Tennessee has improved. I think Kentucky might still be better than an improved Tennessee. And, you know, Kentucky's at home too. They'll be looking to bounce back from a less than ideal loss last week. I know they weren't happy with the way that game turned out after they controlled Mississippi State for like the first 20 minutes of the game.
I think Kentucky's the second best team in the East behind Georgia. I think that the game against Mississippi State last week probably showed you the gap between 2 through 7 in the East and most of the SEC West. Georgia obviously better than just about any SEC West team, if not all of them. Florida's at South Carolina. Dan Mullen didn't make his players available to the media, assuming he'll let them play Saturday night in Columbia, 6:30 kickoff on SEC Network.
South Carolina is bad. So I don't really know what's going on at Florida, but
Dan Mullen does either.
I've watched a couple of South Carolina games, and most notably the way they struggled with Troy. I was watching Taylor Powell, who's from Fayetteville, and I don't see any way South Carolina can beat Florida, which probably means Scotty's going to be contrary and take South Carolina. Good luck on that, Scotty.
No, I'm 100% with you. South Carolina is bad. They've got problems. And this might be another one of those games if Florida, you know, is on its game after, you know, being hyper-focused and not talking to anybody throughout the week. Might be another game where Shane Beamer gets – he has a viral post-game press conference moment where he's talking about all of Florida's athletes.
If Florida stumps its toe and loses that game against South Carolina, I don't know that Dan Mullen will be coaching the game against Samford the following week. I mean, the heat has turned on him, and it'll really ratchet up if they lose to South Carolina, who I think may be the worst team in the SEC. I know they beat Vanderbilt, but they just barely beat Vanderbilt, and that was a home game. Other game before we get to Arkansas-Mississippi State, it's the game that used to be what we all circled on our calendar. It doesn't seem like it means a whole lot this year. LSU's at Alabama. Alabama's a big favorite, 6 o'clock kickoff on ESPN.
Yeah, they got LSU's got 12 starters out for assorted reasons. And this is the kind of lame duck performance that you get when, you know, it's like, all right, I've got a hangnail. I'm out this week, coach. In fact, I think I'm going to sit out the rest of the year. So who knows what's going on at in Baton Rouge these days. And I think the comments that Ed Orgeron made after winning at Alabama a couple of years ago about this is the way it's going to be. This is the way it's going to be is Nick Saban is going to let his guys score as many as they want. And that doesn't happen too often, but I think it's going to happen this time.
To me, this feels like a game that Bryce Young will throw 4 or 5 touchdown passes on like 14 or 15 attempts, and then Alabama will just turn around and hand the ball off to like 6 different running backs in the second half and just get out. I think Alabama will win pretty big.
Alabama, big. I think real big over LSU. They need some style points for the college football playoff, having that loss, especially when you think about they've still got to play Georgia in the SEC championship game. That could potentially be a 2-loss team trying to get their way into the playoff. I think they need style points. And I think that they'll win big, big over LSU. Mississippi State at Arkansas, 3 o'clock kickoff on the SEC Network. The Razorbacks are the favorite in this game. They're a 4-point favorite heading in. Of course, Mississippi State's won 3 of 4. Arkansas has lost 3 of 4. Clay, how do you think it's going to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's rest this time of year is really important. And I think getting your stinger back is important as well. I think Arkansas has a lot to play for. So does Mississippi State. You know, they're both 5-3. The winner is bowl eligible. And But I think this is going to be a fun day for the Razorbacks, and perfect temperature, a lot of things right, you know, good crowd for, you know, being into deer season, and don't take that lightly. I think the state fans understand. You start to see their stands get empty when deer season comes in Mississippi. I think KJ Jefferson has some fun, and you look back and he's going to run for a couple and throw for a couple, and Arkansas wins.
I just think Arkansas being off, resting, getting healthy, you know, both mentally and physically, was a big deal. While Mississippi State, even though they beat Kentucky, was playing a pretty physical Kentucky team, I think that makes a difference. I'm expecting a pretty fun crowd for a non-11 a.m. game for the first time in what feels like forever. So I think Arkansas win a close game. Something weird's going to happen in this game, and it'll turn out to be a fun game. I think Arkansas will edge Mississippi State.
If you look at our predictions that'll be online this week, or you saw them in Hogs Illustrated, those predictions were made a couple of weeks ago, the day after Arkansas played UAPB. So it was before Mississippi State beat Kentucky. I think that might cause you to have second thoughts about your score a little bit, but I still feel good about Arkansas winning the game for the reasons that I detailed in the magazine. And it reminds me of Auburn at Arkansas. Arkansas was right at the tail end of that stretch. Auburn had a little bit of rest, I think, or I guess they were going into a bye week. But it was the fact that Arkansas had played that really hard stretch of SEC teams that I felt was a benefit to Auburn in that game. Mississippi State's in a stretch of, I think they're playing Arkansas, maybe it's their sixth straight SEC opponent. Arkansas is coming off the bye week. I agree with Clay. I think rest is going to be a big deal, and I think that's why Arkansas will win on Saturday. Razorbacks and Mississippi State, 3 o'clock kickoff on the SEC Network. Hope you'll join us at WholeHogSports.com before, during, and after the game. We'll have plenty of coverage. For Scotty Bordelon and Clay Henry, I'm Matt Jones. Be back next week to talk about the Razorbacks and Mississippi State and look ahead to the LSU game.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.